So I went to work. I got an offer from ICI and an offer from Roche, and Roche paid 5 shillings a week more, so I accepted that. I wasn't sure that I wanted to be a chemist, but I worked in the lab, and I went to night school.
So what year, sorry, would you have started at Roche?
1948.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. As I say, I didn't see myself as a chemist, but I enjoyed what I did. And the man I worked for, Ken Andrews, introduced me to Linus Pauling's book about organic chemistry, and I got really interested in that.
So what were you doing?
I was a lab boy, a lab assistant. Usual rule was that when you wrote a paper, and everybody wanted a reputation, had to get published, the head of the department got a mention. The guy who did the work wrote it, and at the bottom he said thanks to whoever lab assistant was for help, which meant he thought it up, the boss took the credit, and the lab assistant did all the work.
And how many were you doing a lab assistant's job?
Eric and I worked for Ken, and each chemist, and there were one, each lab had about 7 or 8 chemists, had 1 or 2 lab assistants.
Yes.
And that was just the organic chemical research. Then there was the pharmacology department, and then there was a clinical research department and a process research department. The process research department turned the lab-sized experiments into the kind of factory size work that that you could make into production and produce kilos of the medicine. That was a very interesting department, and I worked for them for a little while.
Can you remember what your pay was when you began work?
£2.15 a week. And an increment every year, but I can't remember what it was.
Yes.
I remember thinking that when I got to £10 a week, I'd cracked it.
Yes, indeed. And did you socialise much with other people from Roche?
Yes. Well, after 3 years, I stopped. Because I didn't want to be a chemist, I thought I don't want to continue doing this. I stopped studying, which meant that I was immediately called up for do my national service. Roche, because I went did national service, had to offer me a job back. And I said, please don't put me back in the lab. So I went into the patent department, worked for their patent agent, and started to learn about patents. I took my schoolboy German and earned a living for 2 years with it by translating patent documents from German into English so that you could file them with the patent if they were inventions made by Roche in Switzerland.
So I supplemented
my lack of German knowledge by my chemical knowledge.
Right, yes.
So the two together worked, and yes. I improved my German considerably.
So, which year would we be now?
Right, so 51 I go in, November 53 I come out. I got married while I was in the REF because I got paid a hell of a lot more. I was going to get married anyway. I got paid a lot more than 10 shillings 1 week and a pound the next.
Yes.
I came out as senior air craftsman. They offered me a commission to be a pilot or to learn Russian at Cambridge, but I would have been committed to another 7 years with them had I done that. So I came out in November 53, and I spent 2 or 3 years in the patent department. And
how many would have been doing the same job as you?
Oh, only me.
All right.
The patent agent and me.
Yes.
I used to go up to the patent office in London and conduct patent searches. You didn't have Google, you used the patent department library, which was very comprehensive. But after that, I got offered a job in the purchasing department to buy the engineering stuff. And we were just investing again in Britain and building a factory in Dalry. So they needed someone with some engineering background, which I had, to buy the stuff for Scotland. So I spent a happy time buying stuff for Welwyn Garden City and for London and Dalry and India and Japan. I never got to travel to India or Japan, but I went to Scotland every month, and I went to Switzerland every now and again. Got to 1980, and Roche hit a dull patch and decided not to invest anymore. They weren't going to build any more factories. So they made 40 of us redundant in Welwyn Garden City. And in fact, I kept people in business, in work, for another fortnight because I had the flu.
Right.
And they kept ringing me up and saying, Mr. Allison wants to speak to you, who was my ultimate boss. And I said, well, I've got the phone next to my bed. He can speak to me if he wants, but I can't come in yet. So by the time I got in, he said to me, right, we've been waiting for you, because we didn't want to do it piecemeal, but today everybody's being made redundant.
Right.
I said, today. He says, yes, go back, clear your desk, goodbye. So I said, well, you know, I've been spending the company's money. It will look as though I'm leaving under a cloud.
Yes.
So he said, no, not at all. He said, everybody's going today, which was a clever way of doing it. You know.
Yes.
So I said, well, okay, I'll go and say goodbye to everybody then. And he said, well, this is the deal. And I looked at the figures that they got. And he said, they offered me exactly what they had to offer me, and then a great deal more. Mm. And they said, you get that if you don't take us to a tribunal.
Right.
Which, yes. Again, was very smart work.
Yes.
I was happy. You know, I was coasting at the time because, you know, they weren't investing.
Yes.
I could do the job standing on my head and I was getting bored.
Yes.
So it shook me up. I meant to go and change my job anyway, but this really made me. Well, you always ate in the canteen.
Yes.
And it was very democratic. Heads of departments and managers like me, we would all eat together.
Yes.
And we used to play, what did we play? Played some card game if you don't have anything else to do.
Yes.
And everyone was, I mean, people had time. These days, no one's got time for anything. They're sitting at computers and eating sandwiches and pedalling with their feet to keep the energy going.
Yes. Yeah.
But we would sit and have lunch and have time to do something else. Mm. We had a badminton club, and I used to run that.
Yes.
And we had a sailing club, and I was on the lake.
Right.
And I was a teacher, because I had a dinghy and I'd done the course. So I taught guys down on the lake. Mm. They had little koi pews, and I didn't think they could upset them. And one bloke managed it. My boss in the purchasing department, a man called Booth, who became the company secretary later, he was an old merchant tailor, and he was a very keen cricketer. Mm. And so the purchasing department had a cricket team. was designed by the Swiss, and it won a prize.
Right.
Just down here is a semicircular staircase.
Yes.
And very beautiful, and wood everywhere. You know, everything was panelled.
Yes.
That was a newer building, but this one was the original building.
Right.
And this circular staircase was never used by the staff.
Right.
There was a cleaner doing the floor, and the London office was in Manchester Square. And I used to like going there because I could go at lunchtime, I could go in the Wallace Collection. But the managing director would work out of London, a man called Pavitt, who used to be in the Foreign Office, a very urbane fellow. And he comes in the front door and he starts walking up the stairs, and the cleaners look at him and he says, "Oi," he says, "only the knobs can use that." And Pavitt looks at him and he says, "I am a knob."
Oh, yes.
Which is really nice.
Yes. Well, thank
but then
you.
We built this other office, which won the Office of the Year award.
Yeah.
It was designed to be, it was heated by three domestic boilers, gas boilers.
Right.
And it was a four-story building. One floor housed the computer, because in those days your computer was not this size, but floor size, an IBM 3750, I think.
Yeah.
With a room that could be flooded with halon gas, which stored all the records.
Yes.
And a cooling plant for this giant computer.
Yes.
And 135 column paper that thick, you know, that it yes. used to shoot out.
Yes.
Nobody could read it.
And where was the new office then?
Opposite that.
Okay.
On the opposite side of the road.
Mm.
Unfortunately, although it was heated by three units, because it had an air conditioning system that blew air not from panels but from thousands of holes in a grid. So it was lovely, beautiful.
Mm.
And all the windows were tilted from out at the top and in at the bottom
yeah.
and tinted
yeah.
and hidden by balconies
yeah.
so that you didn't get radiation from the sun.
Right.
The blinds were external so that they didn't take the sun and re-radiate inside.
Right.
And the lights, the return for the air conditioning went up through the lights, so that was used to help heat the building.
Goodness.
But it did need a 12-ton refrigerant unit.